Well, this is listed as a homily, not a sermon. So I think technically a homily is a short message on a religious topic. So we're not going to be looking at a particular text this morning, but just some general observations from the text we read from Philippians chapter 1. Some of the shortest verses in the Bible, some of the shortest commands are the most difficult in the Christian life. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul, listing a series of commands, says, "Rejoice always, and in everything give thanks." No qualifications, no conditions, just in everything give thanks. That's difficult to do at times. I think as we look at the events transpiring here in our own community in the past week, difficult to be thankful when we see things happening like we have seen. I'm sure there's going to be a number of pulpits that are focused upon that this coming Sunday. Just as an aside, I think one of the best responses I've read from a Christian position on that was the one written in the Gospel Coalition website by Vadi Bakum, entitled Thoughts on Ferguson. If you want to see how the Gospel impacts us in these areas, just read that article by Vadi Bakum. But we're still called to give thanks. In fact, thanklessness is a sign of unbelief. It's a sign of the unregenerate. And first, in the Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, there in his great summary statement of the condition of all people by nature, says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have clearly been perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Then he says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. We're all born thankless. Thanksgiving, thankfulness, is a response to grace. It's a recognition of grace. It's a recognition that we have been given something we did not deserve, something that we cannot attain. I think this is why the scriptures indicate that thanksgiving is really at the heart, at the core of the Christian life, because thankfulness is a response to sovereign grace. It's a response to the gospel. And so the gospel always produces a heart filled with thanksgiving. The law can't do that. All the law can do is create a heart that says, I'm owed something because I've done this. I deserve this because I've obeyed this. The gospel shows us we cannot, but we've been given everything, and so it fills our hearts with thanksgiving. I think this helps us to understand why there's this constant call to thankfulness throughout the scriptures, with constant call for believers to be thankful. As you just think through the New Testament a little bit, we see this repeated over and over again. In Ephesians 5:24, Paul says, let there be no filthiness, foolish talk, or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. In Ephesians 18, when he talks about being filled with the Spirit, he says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything. One of the signs of the work of the Holy Spirit is a thankful heart. In Philippians 4:6, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And then in Colossians 4:2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. I think these constant exhortations to being thankful, to expressing thanksgiving, are so frequent because it's so difficult to do. We're constantly being called to be thankful. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It requires a mind that is renewed and controlled by the gospel. A mind renewed by the mercies of God, as Paul says in Romans 12. We can't truly be thankful in everything without our minds captivated by the gospel, because that is the basis for all thanksgiving in the heart of the Christian and in the church. I did a little survey this week of just the letters of the Apostle Paul. And in every one of his letters in the New Testament, there's a call to thankfulness and his expression of thanks as well. In Romans 8, it begins in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is proclaimed in the world. Even to the church like the church in Corinth that was filled with so many problems, he begins by saying this: I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians, verse 15 of chapter 1, he says, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering in you in my prayers. We read in Philippians here, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you because of your partnership in the gospel. In Colossians 1, we always thank God, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in the heavens. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 1, he says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and full conviction. 2 Thessalonians, we always give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. In 2 Timothy, I thank my God, whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember your constantly in my prayers day and night, as I remember your tears and long to see you. And to Philemon, it says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward all, for Jesus and for all the saints. Every letter of the Apostle Paul expresses his thanks to God for believers who have embraced the gospel and are being transformed by it, except for one letter. There is one letter where there is no expression of thanks. Galatians. Galatians. And it begins this way. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ Jesus and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. The whole basis for thanksgiving had been eroded because they had turned from the gospel. And in fact, Paul concludes that letter by saying, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Basically, he says, I'm not going to boast in anything but the gospel, and peace be upon those who walk in the gospel. And then he concludes by saying, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. Quit bothering me with this phony gospel that you're proclaiming. He gives no word of praise, no word of thanks, because there's no gospel basis. They were seeking to live by law, and that destroys thanksgiving. The gospel always produces thankfulness, and that's what binds us together as believers in the church. That's why over and over again the Apostle Paul in his letter says, I thank God for you because of the gospel and your embrace of the gospel and the implications being lived out. When the gospel is the focus, and thanksgiving will permeate the church. That's what he expresses here in Philippians. And when you think of Paul's experience there in Philippi, it wasn't a very good experience, was it? Go back to Acts chapter 16. He came, he preached the gospel to some women at the riverside, Lydia being one of them. They responded. A demon-possessed servant girl who was making her master's rich by divination started hounding Paul and Silas, and Paul cast the demon out. Their business was destroyed. They were arrested. They were taken before the magistrates. They were beaten severely. They were thrown into a prison, into the very lowest part of the prison. They were put in chains, and there in the middle of the night, they were singing hymns to God. And a great earthquake occurred, and all the cell doors were opened, and the guard was going to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Paul and Silas said, "Do yourself no harm. We're here." He took them out. He washed their wounds and bound them. And then he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your household." And the next day, the officials said, "Okay, you're free to go." Paul said, "Wait a minute. We're Roman citizens. You beat us unjustly, without trial. We want a public apology." And they did, and they left. That was his experience in Philippi. It wasn't a very good experience, and yet Paul writes to the Philippians, "I thank my God." Why? Because of the gospel. This is why we can give thanks in everything, because our thanksgiving is not based on our circumstances, it's based on the gospel. When Paul wrote that letter to the church in Philippi, where was he? He was in prison again. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." So you go through Paul's prayers. He never prayed for change in circumstances, either his or others. He always prayed about the gospel. And look what he says here in Philippians. "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more with all knowledge and discernment, so that you may prove what is excellent, so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." We can always be thankful because God always answers that prayer. Our thanksgiving is rooted in the gospel, not in our circumstances. In a little bit, we're going to sing a hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." You can't sing that hymn without understanding where it came from. As you note there in the hymnal, the writer of the hymnal of the hymn was Martin Rinkert. Rinkert was a pastor in Germany in the middle of the 30 Years' War. He was one of the few pastors in this walled city. Then, during that period of time, the population of Germany went from 16 million to 6 million. Not only due to the war, but to the disease that war brought in those days. Rinkert, as a pastor, was conducting almost 50 funerals per day. In 1637, he did 4,000 funerals, including his wife's. And in the midst of all of that, in 1637, he wrote this hymn. "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next." His focus was the gospel. And so even in the midst of all of that, he could give thanks to God because of the gospel. It's when we're rooted in that we can be thankful, and we will be. Let's pray. Father and our God, we thank you that you have given us everything we need in Christ. You have filled our hearts with thanksgiving. So no matter what the circumstances, we know that you are always working for our good and for your glory. We thank you, Father, that we have been freed from the legal obligations of the law because Christ has fulfilled it for us. And we thank you now that we stand before you clothed in his righteousness. And you are working out all of the implications of that union with Christ in our lives right now, so that one day, as the Apostle Paul prayed for the Philippians, you will bring to completion that which you have begun even now. And so we can come before you with thanksgiving, knowing that that is the work you're doing in our lives and the lives of all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We come before you as a thankful people, and we lift our hearts to you with thanksgiving for the grace that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.